So I normally don't do this, but I'm interested. Show of hands, how many of you, when you actually reach a genealogy in the Bible, you actually read it? We got one. That's it? One? Two, three, a few? Well, I have to tell you, those that raised your hand, you're better than me. Because what I normally do whenever we reach a genealogy is I just skim over it as fast as possible and move on to the next passage or the next narrative where there's something more to it, at least what I would think, than just names on a page. And the truth is, in 26 years, I went back in John and looked at this, in 26 years of ordained ministry, I've only preached on one genealogy in all the entire Bible, and it was Matthew chapter 1. And I don't know if you know Matthew chapter 1. Matthew chapter 1 is a faith genealogy of Jesus, and it's really, really interesting. It has, one, it has women listed in the genealogy, which seldom happens, if ever. At the same time, it has Gentiles listed in a Jewish genealogy. So Matthew chapter 1, normally we might reach or read that during Advent. That's when we normally preach on Matthew chapter 1. But in 26 years of preaching, ordained ministry, never preached on any genealogies other than that. And I'm like many of you, I just skim over them. Read them as fast as I can just to move on to the next passage. And frankly, Genesis chapter 5 is really, it's a little bit of a head scratcher for many commentaries. The passage sometimes is difficult to interpret, mainly because we don't know the original intention of the writer. When we read, or at least I would imagine, when you heard John read Genesis chapter 5, you focused on two things. You focused on the names, and then also the lifespans. And the people that are mentioned, they're mentioned, this is the only time that they're mentioned, with the exception of maybe one or two. And at best, those one or two that are mentioned more than just Genesis chapter 5, their name might appear one or maybe two other times in all of the Old Testament. They're not the patriarchs. They're not the matriarchs that we're very familiar with. Their names are unrecognizable, with the exception if you find yourself in an Old Testament trivia game. That's really about it. Every now and then, Jeopardy will put Old Testament on there, and you might find one of these names. But other than that, they're hidden characters. They're names that are, at least. But we do notice the lifespans, and that itself raises questions. Is that hyperbole? Are they literal? Again, the book of Genesis doesn't answer every single question that we ask. It's not the function of Genesis. Genesis, what's most important for the Genesis writer is the function of the stories. What we want to do is we want to break down every story because we're trained and taught and to process this way. We want to break down every story and we want to look for every single detail. That's just not the approach of the Genesis writer. Now, there are details, but they just don't give us every detail that we desire. And the key in the book of Genesis is how does the story function inside the larger narrative or the larger story of God? And the easy answer for Genesis chapter 5 is it helps us get from Genesis 1 and 2, Adam and Eve, to Genesis 6 and 8, Noah. That's the function of the story. And it's definitely tempting to dismiss it. But in doing so, we might miss something that is really, really important. And so it warrants a second look. Because what we've already looked at in these previous sermons on the book of Genesis is that in Genesis 1, 2, 3, and 4, what we discovered is that people are created in the image of God, which means they bear God's likeness. And there's this deep yearning, this soul yearning for connection to God and connection to other people. And everybody in Genesis 1, 2, 3, and 4 have this commonality about them. This created in the image of God and a soul yearning for connection to God and connection to other people. And at the same time, there exists a temptation. To some degree, wounds, a frailty, stemming from trying to meet that soul yearning in self-centered and self-interest ways. And whenever that happens, what we've witnessed already in the book of Genesis and what we even know about our own life is when we do it, try to meet those needs, self-centered ways, we end up causing harm to ourselves and harm to other people. Genesis 5, a safe assumption is that all the people that were listed in that genealogy, and we didn't read them all, we just read a portion of them, that they also had those two same aspects about them. Created in the image of God, with a deep soul yearning to connection with this God and connection with other people, and a temptation to meet that need in self-centered ways. They are not better or worse than the people listed in Genesis 1, 2, 3, and 4. Now we know more details about those first four chapters, those people. Here in Genesis 5, we don't know the details of their lives, but we can imagine, and I think it's safe to do so, that they are just like the people of the previous chapters. A desire to connect with God, with other people, and a temptation to meet that in an altered way. And so they have the capacity for goodness and love, and yet at the same time, the desire to seek that on their own terms that often leads to brokenness. You know, names in the Bible, particularly the Old Testament, are very important. And what genealogies, what they reveal for us is that people, they didn't pop up out of the blue. That they were part of a history, they were part of a tradition, they were part of a larger family. And Genesis 5 highlights that history, that tradition, that family. And like every family, whether we look at it in the book of Genesis or even in our own families, or maybe this church family, in every family, there are going to be people that are background people, and there are going to be people that are stars of the show. And it doesn't matter which one. But these background people, these unknown, these uncelebrated people, they too made the difference behind the scenes in the same way of the stars of the show, living faithfully. Very few people live in the spotlight. And every star of any history, any tradition, or in any family has a host of background people who lay a foundation for them. There are no stars without a background person or people. And they help lay the foundation. Frankly, the older I become, and I hope this is not dysfunction, I hope it's actually maturity, but the older I become, the more I value continuity with those who came before me and those who will come after me. That, over time, has become more meaningful for me. And so regardless of those people who came before me, regardless if they're the stars of the show or the background people, to some degree, they're all linked together. And the first time I thought about this was in 1998, and I still distinctively remember exactly what happened. It was the night of my ordination. We were in Savannah. Bishop Looney was the bishop at that time, and he was preaching on a passage, and he looked at the class of ordinands, and I was a part of that class, and he said, "You're seven ordinations away from John Wesley." Never thought about that. And I thought about, okay, seven ordinations. I really only knew of two. I knew Bishop Looney personally, and at some point in his history, he was ordained, and then he was about to ordain me. So I knew one, and the other I just knew from a book, studying John Wesley for 3 years in graduate school. All the other stars had no clue. And not just those stars, all the background people, who, and there were thousands of them. You're talking about, for me, 300 years or so. All the people that were involved in that. Some were on the forefront. Some were in the background. But each of them played a part. And if I look back in that history, that family, that tradition, the truth is what I felt then and what I even feel now is gratitude. That regardless of where, what role they played, they were linked together. And either as a star or someone in the background, they were part of laying that foundation that also connected for them the people that came before them and then that generation that's right after. And then eventually, it led to me. And so now I'm part of that family, that tradition, that history. All those people who walk with God, some better than others, they all walk, casting an influence and forming an environment so that then the next person in their line sees what it's like to be connected to God. Because they too, just like those of Genesis 1, 2, 3, and 4 in Genesis 5, and even us today, have those two same conditions. A desire to connect with God and other people, and then also a temptation to meet that need in all types of ways. Some of them self-centered. They can even lead to brokenness. And so I read this genealogy, names that are nothing more than just names on a page, but at some point in their life, they were the link from all those that came before, and they provided the connection for that one that would come right after. And the same is true with us. Our life might be a little different. Similar challenges, similar obstacles, but definitely commonalities and continuity to even those that are listed in the passage. And so it's my time, and it's your time, to connect that next generation in that family, in that history, and in that tradition. And like them, the way you do it is you live a life that serves as a witness to just that next group. One step at a time. That's what sits with us. You know, I wish I had this superpower that I could actually give faith to another person. At one point I thought ordination, you'd have that power. I guess I missed it. I need to go back and talk to Bishop Looney and find out what he did wrong. But to make somebody, to will somebody to believe. None of us have that ability. But what we can do is we can control what we do in our time so that that next group sees in us what it's like to live into that soul yearning to be connected to God and to be connected to other people. What you do have the power to do is to create that environment. They will have their time when they're part of then that history, that family, that tradition. But until then, it's our time to stand in the gap and to be a faithful witness. Because whether we talk about it in terms of Genesis 1, 2, 3, 4, and 5, or whether we talk about it in terms of John Wesley in the 1700s, or we talk about our day, or even we talk about the day in the future, what will be common is this desire for connection with God and a connection with another person, with people, and a temptation for self-centeredness. And so in what we can control, whether we are the background person or the star of the show, it makes no difference because the task is the same. Our responsibility, our life, our ministry is to be the link from those that came before to those that will come after. And you stand in the gap. Whether that be for your own family, the people of this congregation, this city, it makes no difference. We're part of that genealogy. And that's our role. Some of us, there might be narratives of our story, chapters. For someone else, it might just be a name listed on a sheet of paper. But in that time, we have the same responsibility, whether as a background or as a star, to create an environment that makes it easy for people to see the face of God in your life. That's our task. So maybe it really is worth pausing for a minute to read the names in a genealogy. Background people as they were, but they still became the link for the next person after them. And so may it be for you. Oh God, as we read this passage and we just normally skim over, but a second pause reveals something greater, deeper. And what it reveals about them is the same for us. Oh God, I pray for those that are in this room and those that are joining online. Some will be the stars. Their life, very impactful. When their history is written, it'll have multiple chapters. There'll be a great deal of detail. And then for some of us, oh God, it'll be a name that leads then to another name. And all are vital for that connection, to be that link. And so use us as you would, so that in our day, in our time, we become those that provide a link for those that come after. Oh Lord, would you do that in us, we pray. And we pray this in your name. Amen.